Well, concerning my retirement, is in the constitution. The constitution was revised in November 2016, and we reduced the retirement age, which was borrowed from or inherited from the Church of England, from 70 years to 65. And I found out that I was born on the 12th of July 1952. So exactly last year, 2017, I turned 65. But of course, I couldn't leave the diocese in the middle of the river. I have to continue up to the 9th. Because I found out that I actually started work as a bishop here. After election and enthronement, I started here on the 9th of January 2010. So when I selected the 9th, I want to make sure that I have 8 years full service here in the Dasa region. And secondly, I want to use my experience here to help my successor, whoever is going to be elected in my place, as the Archbishop Paul Peter Gusso of Central Dakota have said. By April, my successor, who is the third Bishop of Rajab, will be in place. So I will be available to give him advice on how to run the diocese. But also I'm available not only for Dasa Rajab, but the whole ECS and even all the churches, because I've served as General of Sudan Council of Churches in Khartoum for 2 terms, from 1995 up to 2003. And people say probably I've been the only one or one of the few who have served for 2 terms. So I'm available also for the other churches. And together with all the churches, right now I'm serving as the representative in the Peace Talks. Actually, I'm a member of Joint Military Evaluation Commission, JMEC, based here in Juba. And last year, I was representing the churches in Addis Ababa in the Revitalization High Level Representation Forum. Up to now, this role is still with me. I look forward to making my report to the head of churches this month, so that they can prepare themselves for the next round, which is February 2018.
Okay. Bishop Tombe, now that you have retired, what are your proudest moments in service as the Bishop of the Episcopal Church of Sudan, South Sudan?
I wouldn't use the word proudest, but I want to say what really
your happy moments.
Or what you can say fulfillment, okay. What I feel comfortable that I have achieved,
yes,
is to put up proper administrative systems in the diocese of Rajab. Because when I took over, I think the diocese was not yet having systems in place. For example, we did not have plans in terms of annual plans or budgeting and all this. The staff were not trained, and we trained them in administration. We also introduced even payment of incentives to the diocesan staff. And from 3 adjunctionaries, we have now 5. And in fact, Wandruba was also part of the diocese. So Wandruba became a full diocese during my time, after 4 years working with them. So basically what I brought into Dasa Rajab is administrative skills. This is the one my contribution.
Okay. What can you say about your lows or maybe your dark moments?
Of course, basically external challenges. I mean, the war, you know, erupted again in December 2013 and discouraged investors. We start attracting investors to the land of the church. We succeeded at least 2, and we're going to have the 3rd just behind this Kerik mountain. But then, of course, the war broke out and the investors left. So I didn't really feel happy about this, because we could have had more investors, we would have more resources locally, would be self-reliant, because my goal was to make the diocese self-supporting according to the vision of the missionaries. The missionaries had wanted self-supporting, self-governing, and self-regulating church. They have not achieved the self-supporting, and we in Rajab were trying to achieve that 3rd dimension of their vision, self-supporting diocese.
Okay. Where do you see the agreement that you have been a signatory to representing the faith-based group?
The agreement has been signed on paper, yes, to stop the hostilities, protect civilians, and allow relief to reach all areas of the people in need. There are challenges in terms of people who have not probably heard about the agreement, particularly at the lowest level. But I can assure you, all the top political leaders from 14 groups, both armed and unarmed, who were there in Addis Ababa. The original 4 who signed the agreement in 2015, August, and then another 10 new ones. So the challenge probably is that communicating with the people in the field has been very difficult. That's why you heard about violations immediately after that, because probably some of them have not even heard about the agreement. But also possibility that there are also new groups coming up. And of course, peace is a process. You don't expect peace to come at the stroke of a pen, just with an agreement, then it stopped. So I think as we move on, particularly the next hot issue, governance structure of South Sudan, which is going to be discussed in February. This is where a lot of discussion is going to take place. But the idea is that this season of citizen agreement is supposed to create conducive atmosphere to discuss those hot issues. Then I want to appeal to all those who are carrying guns to stop fighting, because we have the opportunity now to talk. You know, when you fight, you only make things more complicated. But if you people are now ready to talk, including the government, with all these components, why don't we go and talk? Yes, instead of using violence, let us talk and discuss the system of government. Some people are calling for federal system, others confederal system, others whatever type. Let us agree, and then we solve our problem peacefully.